I'm Caitlin Taylor, and welcome to The Style Project, a podcast about body love, self-esteem, and personal style. As a style coach and everyday personal stylist, I work with women to help them love the skin they're in and celebrate it through their own personal style. In this podcast, I'll chat to a series of women I know and admire about their journey with their own style, their experiences with body image and self-esteem, and look at ways we, as a society and as individuals, can change the way we think about ourselves for the better. So without further ado, let's get chatting. This podcast was recorded before the COVID-19 outbreak. Please keep that in mind when listening, and remember to stay home and stay safe. Model and body diversity advocate Jess Quinn has the most infectious laugh you have ever heard, but life wasn't all roses for her. She lost her right leg to bone cancer at age 9, but since then she has refused to let that stand in the way of living life to its fullest. I've been looking forward to this chat for so long. I can't wait for you to hear it. Enjoy.
Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for joining me here on The Style Project. I'm so excited. Yay. So let's start off by telling me a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Mm-hmm. What I do is always a really hard question to answer.
I don't think it's an easy question for anybody anymore.
No.
Right?
I'm like, you know, like the customs form at the airport, and it's like you get a really small space. So I'm usually just like, I say I'm in marketing because it's really easy when that's nothing to do with what I do.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But about myself, I lost my leg to cancer when I was a kid. I struggle with starting with that because there's the whole like, don't let those kind of things define you. But it's really hard to then explain what I do without that because my life does revolve around my life story, if you like. In terms of what I do, I'm a model. I am a content creator. I'm a speaker. I kind of dabble in a little bit of everything. And most of my work, if not all of my work, revolves around my story and how I basically have, I guess through my journey, have learned to love my body and live in my body. And yeah, I just got to sharing my life on my platform, which was really crazy. I was working, I actually studied fashion at uni.
Yeah.
Which is a very blurry memory in my head. And then I did a photo shoot and I wanted to basically change the way that particularly young girls saw themselves. That I was about 3 years ago, and it was in a time where I don't think there was as much body diversity, mm-hmm. if you like, out there. And I had a friend who was a photographer, and I thought, I got this cool blade. It looks nothing like a leg. Let's do a photo shoot. It's just fun. And I thought maybe I would send it to a modeling agency in New Zealand and get kind of represented so I could maybe be on a billboard and some young girl could see that and feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. So I did that, put it on my Instagram to my 1,000 followers who was mostly friends and family, and then a week later it went viral, and 3 months later I left my job. So yeah, it's been a...
Stuff happens
really quickly. Yeah. I had to learn how to use Instagram. I was that like I was good with technology, but I was not a social media girl. I didn't even know what it was. It's all just... So many things have come up in the last 3 years, and I've, I guess, turned my job into how I want to live and the message I want to put out into the world, and yeah.
Awesome. Super cool.
Yeah, so that's not going to fit on a customs form.
No. Marketing.
Marketing. Easy.
Marketing. Now, we were chatting beforehand, mm-hmm. and you were like, oh my God, I'm turning up to like a stylist's house in activewear, but I love that because it's actually like legit you, right? Yes. So on that vein, I want you to tell me or think of three words, like descriptive words, mm-hmm. that you would use to describe your style.
Coming in hot with the hard questions. I think comfortable is definitely my number one. If I'm not comfortable, like I would rather be comfortable than be uncomfortable in projecting a certain image. I'd rather be comfortable. And to me, that is mostly stretchy, baggy clothing. So I would say comfortable, oversized always. And I don't love the word tomboy, but I don't know a better word for it. So
masculine.
I would say.
Cool, I like it. So that is a little tool that I use with like literally all my styling clients. Mm-hmm. It's what I call your style personality. Cool. So for me, it's those three words are almost more important than telling someone what color suit them or what body shape they are and that kind of thing, because that is dictating what you wear. And like you said, what you're feeling like your true self is. Mm-hmm. So if you can nail those words, and often it's a combination of the three as well that really kind of that solidifies, yeah, what your own personal style is, which I think is super important. Like, it's not trend-based and it's not style-driven. It's, you know, comes from inside, which is really cool.
I like that. And I think it's good to know that because I so many times have tried to almost fight it and be like, no, I need to be wearing this or I should be wearing this and why am I wearing this? But it's when I don't fight it that I feel my best.
Yeah, totally. And like, it's funny, in the change room, if I see someone like fidgeting with something and like fussing with it, I'm like, nah, take it off. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work for you. Totally. You have to put it on and go.
Yeah,
totally. That was like a down breath. Yeah. Cool. Do you have, and we talked about stretchy and oversized, do you have a specific like thing that's your favorite thing ever to wear? So whether it's like a specific piece or it's like leggings or whether it's
T-shirts. Yeah. It's probably the most boring answer, but I am T-shirts and sweatshirts. It's like almost a running joke with my sisters and my friends. Like, I'll go into a store and I'll be like, I'm going out today to buy a nice top. You know, everyone, the whole like
nice top. Yeah,
thank you. Jeans and a nice top. Like, that's kind of been my style. Like, one of the two has to be baggy, either tight jeans, baggy top or baggy top. Wait, you know what I mean? Vice versa. But yeah, then I go into a store and I leave with three sweatshirts and a T-shirt. And I do not need sweatshirts and I do not need T-shirts.
Yeah.
But definitely, I'm a oversized T-shirt girl.
All the way.
That's my favourite thing.
Yeah.
Winter, again, summer.
Comfortable.
Yes, comfortable. Oversized. Totally.
Masculine. That's exactly. Deep, physical words. Perfect.
And then I'll wear some tight pants or I won't.
Yeah, totally.
It works.
Totally. Do you care about your personal style? Do you think it's important to care about it? I'm really interested in your answer for this. Like, this was the question I was nervous about asking you.
I do and I don't. I don't think I have a really black or white answer for this. I think I care, but I also, without getting too deep and dark on this question, I think a lot of people, you know, ask me how I'm so comfortable in my body and all these kind of things, and I had to learn this kind of stuff at a really young age. You know, I was 9 when I lost my leg and my whole identity and what I looked like and how I could dress and present myself, and everything changed and I had to relearn all that. So for me, I kind of had to learn to not fuss over the way that I looked, because I kind of learned that I had no control over that in a small, I mean, I have control and I could put on a dress and I could look a little bit better or a little bit, I could feel a little bit better, whatever it is. But for me, I have so many other issues that I have to deal with in my life. I think that's where the comfort thing came from.
Yeah, totally.
I'm already uncomfortable walking around with my leg every day because it's not a comfortable thing. Therefore, if I could make my clothing comfortable, then that was great. So, yeah, I think I completely just veered away from the question.
No, I think that's totally it. Like, you've got other things that are actually more pressing. And I think that's important, right? And it might feel ironic coming from a personal stylist, but so much of what I'm trying to teach people is your body is more than an ornament. And I keep saying this.
And I so agree.
And I've totally stolen it from Taryn Brumfitt. His embrace, like, changed my life.
Totally. It's amazing.
I actually backed her Kickstarter.
Yeah, wow.
Like, when I saw it happening. Like, if you haven't, listeners, if you have not watched it, I've said this before, go and watch Embrace.
It's totally
like,
agree.
I've got goosebumps thinking about it. It's next level.
It's amazing.
Her big thing is your body is more than an ornament. Mm. And that is it for me. Like, it's teaching people that their body is more about what it can do. Mm. And what it can, like, you know, some of us have grown children. Mm. Like, that's pretty fucking cool that our bodies have done that.
Totally.
What it looks like and all the little bits and pieces don't matter.
Totally.
Like, actually don't matter.
I 100% agree. And so that's where I'm like, I care in a sense. Like, I did fashion. I love clothing. Mm. And some days I wake up and I want to wear a dress, or I end up wearing color and I'm normally in black, white, and gray. And that's just, I'm kind of intuitive in that sense. In terms of, like, today I feel like putting this on, whereas most of the time I don't. But I don't care. In the sense that I fuss over, I don't spend hours in front of the mirror. You know, I've got girlfriends who are like I'll literally leave the house, I look in the mirror in terms of my mirror that I have in my bedroom, that's kind of neck up to put my concealer or whatever on, but I never look, I don't have a full length mirror. And I used to, but I found I mean my leg, it's very unusual looking most of the time, it really annoys me most of the time because my thigh's falling down, da, da, da. So it became too much. So it was just easier for me to just throw on clothes, go with how I'm feeling inside that day, and just leave the house knowing that I feel good. Because if I look in the mirror, I'm gonna obsess over the way that I look and not
and
be
get
productive
stuck on
in
it.
My day.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. And I think that's kind of it, right? Is it's like, and it seems like a weird link, but often I say to people, like, if things on social media are pissing you off, don't look at them. Like, unfollow them.
Totally.
Right? So if things are irking you, and I often joke with clients, like, what your bum looks like isn't your business. Like, you can't see it, so don't worry about it.
Who cares?
Exactly. Like, and if anybody else has to look at it, that's their issue. It's got nothing to do with you. So it's like that kind of vein, right? Because if it really irks you, don't even look at it.
Totally.
Like, don't make it part of your daily routine and yeah. part of your mindset, which I think is really totally. Important.
And because how often do you feel good and then you see one little thing and then your whole day is kind of thrown, you know? But it's like if you just hadn't dwelled on
focused
that thing,
on that.
Yeah, you would still be feeling really good totally. Right now. And I would rather feel good.
And I think in the same vein, but almost the opposite, like what I try and do with people is make them give them confidence by wearing clothes they love. And mm-hmm. it's actually a lot of the time it's got nothing to do with the body underneath. 100%. It's actually just about going, oh my God, I love hot pink.
Totally.
I'm going to wear hot pink totally. All day, every yep. day.
And they're going to feel good.
Correct. Because totally. I love pink. It's not about, well, you are an hourglass shape yeah. and you must define your waist totally. And you must wear like that. Like, I don't do that.
No.
It's like, if you love it, wear it.
Totally.
But part of my job is to help people find those things that they mm-hmm. love as well and work mm-hmm. out what that is. So I think that you can totally care and not care at the same time. And I think often people are quite, even friends, like are quite surprised that I don't take hours mm. to get dressed. Mm. I just have a wardrobe full of clothes that I really love.
And you know that you feel good in them.
Correct. Totally. So I can put on anything.
I'm the same.
And I feel good.
Yeah.
So actually, and I also have two small children.
Yeah.
So I don't have hours.
Who gets the time? I have one here as well. Yeah, I'm the same. I think that's what it is. I know that I like most of my pieces in my wardrobe. I know they fit me unless something's changed in my body that yeah. month. And then I throw them on and I'm good, you know?
Totally.
So.
And I think that's where, you know, because I guess my next standard question that I would ask is there a link between your body and your style, which you've 100% kind of already answered. Like mm-hmm. your style is literally dictated
totally
by your body and what's happening with your body.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about, like we were talking just before, about like you just had a new thigh fitted
mm-hmm.
and that you said it was like literally a like one day to the next yep. changed overnight.
Totally. There's been a few of those moments in my life and I've learned to just kind of go with them a little bit. But I think, yeah, so recently I have the nature of the surgery that I had, which is would take this whole podcast to explain, is very unusual. It left my right leg, which is my prosthetic side, looking really skinny. So I get prosthetic thighs made, but my manufacturer decided to stop making them about, I think, 3 years ago, and I couldn't find anyone to make new ones. And at the time when they stopped, I was due for a new mold. Mm-hmm. I was already, like, holding on to the last kind of the last thing I had, yeah, I'd already grown out of it, and that thigh, I realized recently, was molded when I was 16, and I was a very underweight 16-year-old, and I went from, until last week, having one thigh that was the size of me when I was 16 to overnight getting a thigh the size of me now, which, for anyone, we change over 10 years, more than 11 years, so that was quite strange. Most of us don't know how much our bodies have changed until we look back on photos from 10 years ago. Whereas I literally woke up one day and I was like, oh, wow. So that's been interesting. My thigh's not quite there. So in terms of, it's not perfect yet. So it needs some work until I feel that I can be comfortable in all my clothes, I guess, in terms of the color of it and the shape and the size. It takes quite a while, but I, on the one hand, can wear leggings for the first time in 3 years because my thigh was too small. It kept falling down. It just drove me mad.
Mm.
That's probably why I'm an activist right now, because I'm like, I've not worn leggings for so long and I love this. To now, I'm uncomfortable wearing shorts with this thigh because it doesn't quite fit right. So it does dictate my style a lot and what I feel comfortable in. And then there was, on the other hand, I didn't wear shorts for the first 8 years of what I call my new life. So I didn't wear shorts until, from losing my leg until I was, I think, my second to last year of high school, which is, I was nearly 18, you know?
Yeah.
And my friends had been wearing mini shorts for a really long time, and I was still wearing anything that was below my knee. Everyone's taking their school skirt up while I'm taking mine down. So it's always dictated my personal style, in a sense, which I don't love that, but I think back then it was a process and a journey that I had to go through to figure out who I was, how much I was going to let it control me. And then now, like the moment I'm in right now with my thigh, sure, it's annoying, but it doesn't rock me as much as it used to rock me.
Yeah.
It just frustrates me a little bit, and then I just get on with life.
And I like that you kind of said, like, it still frustrates me, but I just get on with life, right? Because I feel like you've had some quite extreme examples of your body changing, but I feel like everyone at some point goes through things where they wake up and they go, oh, my arms aren't as taut as they used to be,
totally.
Or like, I've started getting grey hair, mm-hmm. and I blame my second child for that, 100%. But I've always had dark hair, and now I'm like, do I have to start going blonde to hide the greys? And I think we all have these little moments, and it's actually not the moment, and I feel like you are an amazing example of this. It's not the moment, it's how we deal with the moment.
100%.
That is what counts, and I always use you as an example with my clients. You and my mum, because we talked about before we were recording, my mum's a physio, which mm-hmm. a lot of listeners have heard before. Mum does hydrotherapy, mm-hmm. so in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I've grown up with mum treating people with spinal injuries and kids who have got cerebral palsy and are in wheelchairs and that kind of stuff. So when I'm talking to clients and they're complaining about their wobbly arms, I'll be like, dude,
you have arms.
You have. I'm like, my girlfriend has one leg. Full stop. The end, and she rocks at life, right? Totally. So get over yourself. Not quite as harsh as that, but there is a little bit of that tough love. Like, you're okay as you are. Like, yes. You are whole. Like, mm-hmm. there are so many people less, you know, in a different position than you are. But I think that we only know our own experience, right? So I 100%. Think sometimes we just need to remind people mm-hmm. that little bit of cellulite is totally fine, yeah. and actually you're the only person that's focusing on it.
100%.
So we all have those moments,
yeah.
but I think it's how we deal with those. I don't have a perfect body mm-hmm. by any means, but it's mine.
Totally.
And if I wanted to do something about it enough, I would. Mm-hmm. So if it annoyed me enough, if the wobbly bits around my tummy annoyed me enough, then I wouldn't drink as much wine mm-hmm. and then I would go to the gym more and I'd swim more and stuff, but mm-hmm. I like wine.
Totally. And it's the balance of like how much you want to spend your life yeah. focusing and trying to so-called fix your body, which I don't believe it ever needs fixing.
Correct.
But if that's how you feel, opposed to getting to the end of your life and knowing that you lived your best life
yeah.
and not like yeah. we're not going to get to the end of our lives and be like, I'm so glad I spent so long trying to get my arms really skinny. Like,
all right.
Who cares?
Exactly.
And I think this is where, and this is reasonably controversial at the moment, and I'm trying to be cautious of how I navigate the conversation in my social media, but it's where I'm really, I don't want to say anti the body positivity movement, but kind of, because not the movement, but the way that the movement's being mm-hmm. Executed. I hate the way that, or I dislike the way that there's all of these, you know, this is me with my cellulite and this is me, look at my roles, but I still love my body for them. And I'm like, I think for some people that really helps them, it helps normalize these bodies mm-hmm. that we don't see every day. But I also think at the end of the day, whether we're focusing on the so-called perfect body or the so-called body that we're comfortable in that we don't seem as to be perfect,
we're still focusing on our bodies. Body.
We're not, like, I was like, I wasn't insecure about my belly until I'm like, oh yeah, you're pointing yeah. out my insecurities
yeah,
now, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, and you're making me think I need to think about my body.
Yeah.
So I just think we need to not
I think it's a fine line as well, right?
Because it is a fine line.
And my girlfriend Monique and I, who have talked on the podcast before, we've talked about you really don't have the right to comment on anybody else's body. Like, so these conversations we're having about, oh, her body is perfectly imperfect and blah, blah, blah. Well, actually, her body's her body and it's no one else's business. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of that as well. And it is hard because I feel like it is part of a bigger conversation about who we are as people, right? Yeah. And I think the reality is we have bodies mm-hmm. and we have eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So we see bodies.
Totally.
So we kind of do have to talk about it a little bit. But, yeah, when it consumes us mm-hmm. and it's all we talk about. Mm-hmm. And I also, like, I sometimes struggle with the term, like, real women
yeah,
and kind of stuff because
me too.
Everybody's a real woman. Like, even if you're a size 6, you're still real.
Yeah.
And also, like, the term curvy women, because mm-hmm. I had a client this morning who was a size 8. Mm-hmm. She has curves.
Yes.
She's a curvy woman. Totally. It's actually it's a shape. Yeah. It's not a size.
100%.
So I think we have to be careful with some of the terms that we use because they still do segregate and pigeonhole.
Yeah.
I think it's...
I get it a lot as a model because I model in my body, surprisingly. And, you know, I have conversations in meetings with potential clients or whatever it may be, and or after a photo shoot, and, you know, they're like, oh, we're just so thankful that we got you to represent real woman. And I'm like, thank you. Like,
yeah. Did you get a cyborg to do the other stuff?
Because to be honest, I'm linked real out of everyone. Like, a quarter of my body is made of plastic and carbon fiber. Like,
yeah.
But also just like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We're all real women.
Yeah.
Like, every single person.
Totally.
And I think we're all ourselves. I think that's the thing. Like, and we don't need to be a carbon copy of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's this. And I feel like it's changing, though. Like, I feel like, I mean, people like you are doing amazing jobs in normalizing just different people. But there's a lot of brands that are working really well with in that body diversity space. Tell me about some of the stuff that you're doing with like Dove and things, because they've always been in that space.
Totally.
I love what they do.
Totally. And I think that's the hard part for the brands that have always been in that space, is that's now people are wondering if they're authentic. And I'm like, these people have been doing this since the 60s or whenever it was, you know? Yeah. So there are incredible brands out there doing incredibly authentic stuff. There's also new brands coming out who can't see another way of doing
it. Yeah, they're doing it from the start.
Totally. They're like, why would we not do it this way? So yeah, I've worked with Dove in the past. And the thing I love about Dove is they what I don't like at the moment, and that's where I think you can tell where a brand is less authentic, is when the campaign is Jess Quinn doing a body image campaign, and it's very, you know, it's almost like my face with hashtag body image or body positivity written across it, and it's tokenism.
They have to explain that they're doing it.
They have to explain they're doing it. There's tokenism in the sense that there's majority what is known as straight size models, which is the models that we've kind of grown up with, and then one person, which is often me or someone else, someone like me, and that's when it's kind of the tokenism. But then there's the brands like Dove, who you can just see they're so genuine in what they're doing, because they're representing all women, they're representing all bodies, and they're going beyond the image of a body. They have tools to help parents navigate body image with their children.
Stuff is amazing. Like, I've looked into those tools. Because that's the thing, like, again, with two little girls.
How do you speak to them?
Yeah, and also because of what I do on the surface. Mm. Like, even this morning, both my girls were like, Mummy, makeup, Mummy, makeup. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, Mummy wears makeup, but you don't need to because you're awesome as you are. But wait, totally. So is Mummy. But oh my God, how do I have this conversation?
And that's hard, because so did I.
And they're 1 and 3.
Exactly. But I went to my mum and I wanted to put lipstick on when I was probably 3. You know, it's like, but it wasn't a thing then, so we didn't overthink it. It was just how it was, you know? So it is really hard to navigate, and I can't imagine being a parent in that sense. But that's where I love those brands who are going beyond this just one image campaign, or they're not just doing one campaign and then going back to what they used to do. Yeah. You know, they're genuinely trying to change the way or lead the way. Dove's really awesome in that sense. I just did a campaign with bras and things, which was really cool, and that was an interesting one because I found myself for the last 6 months in the wall, and I was kind of the bras and things window would stop me, because it wasn't look at our one token model. It was just really they had all bodies and they had a mixture of things going on, and it pulled my attention because it was done in a really genuine way.
And it was not the norm. I think so. Totally. It's often not the norm that stops your eye.
100%. Right? Yeah. And then they coincidentally asked me to be in a campaign, and that was really awesome. There was 3 of us girls who had different bodies, and that was great. I'm modeling in America, so there's lots of American brands that I'm working with. There's been a few who are startup brands. Mm. There are ones who have notified that they haven't been doing things the way they know they should, and they want to make a change, which I think is really great. So there's a lot of people getting on board, and then there is people who just are doing it because they know that it gets it's kind of greenwashing, it's
the same routine. Kind of thing. As Cassie Bremer said the other day. I feel like what we can do as consumers is support those brands who are doing that
100%.
As well. And if your brand does this before as well, if a brand that you love isn't doing it, ask them. Like, call them out on it and say, 100%. Hey, can we see some more, body diversity and that kind of thing? Because this is the thing, and I think that, we can say, let's not focus on bodies, but bodies are always going to be used in things like advertising and that kind of stuff as well. So being able to see someone that looks more like us or just doesn't, I think it's not even, for me and my girls as well, because I'm thinking about it through their lens as well, it's not even just seeing somebody like me, it's seeing people that look different. 100%. It's not seeing the same person over and over again.
I agree. And I think that's where it normalizes, and young people will grow up seeing either themselves or their friend or whoever it is represented, and it's just becomes a normality that humans look different, because I always say this, but the one thing we all have in common is that we're all different. It's so simple, it's like we are all different, yet we've been kind of pushed towards this cookie cutter mold, or showing that this cookie cutter mold of perfection is
what we should be
or what happiness looks like or what beauty looks like, whereas that's not the case. And I think we are breaking the mold now, but I also think we need to be conscious to not become too obsessive with breaking with that mold.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, totally. How do you feel then about things like, this is not as controversial as it can sound, things like fake tan and teeth whitening and lash extensions and that kind of stuff? Like,
I find it really hard to navigate, if I'm honest. I had a petition running last year to try mm-hmm. change the laws around imagery touching, because I had an image of mine photoshopped and I thought it was ridiculous that someone could point out an insecurity and change it that I didn't even know that I had.
Yeah, and also, like, if you don't know what Jeff looks like, Google her. She's bloody stunning. So anyone that needs to Photoshop that shit, like, has, like, literally needs to get their, like, brain red.
Thank you. But it's a weird thing to realize that you have, some of your moles are okay, but I had too many.
Yeah, wait, you that's know? Like, 1, 2, 3, oh, yeah. There's 7. We're cutting it at 7.
We've got to stop them.
Brand guidelines. Yeah. There's only 7 moles.
So the rest, gone.
Yeah.
And so I was navigating that, and I went through the media with that when that petition came out, and I went on a few TV shows to talk about it. And a lot of the questions I got asked was, so people wear makeup, though, how's that any different? And to be honest, I often didn't really know the answer because I don't think there is a black and white answer, but the more I've thought about it and the more I've looked into it and spoken to people in a similar conversation, they've kind of spoken about how makeup enhances what you currently have, whereas imagery touching takes away and is trying to change someone mm-hmm. into something that they're not. So I kind of stand by that, and I also think if something makes you feel good, then do it. You know, like at the beginning when I first got Invisalign, I didn't talk about it because I was like, everyone's going to think I'm trying to change my body because I'm changing my teeth. But I had cancer when everyone else was getting braces. I missed that boat, you know? Yeah. So I was a little busy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, so it's like, I'm straightening my teeth. Like, and if I want to have wider teeth, I want to have wider teeth. Like, I think that's where we need to be careful to not become too judgmental and too obsessive with it. But then I do have small issues with people dramatically changing their bodies. But if they, again, are doing it, if someone is so insecure about the fact that they've got a flat chest and they would like to get breast implants and it's going to make them feel better, I mean, there's a whole nother conversation in and around breast implants. But, you know, it's
100%
like,
aboard with that. That's exactly how I feel. Yeah, like, but
I think, sorry to cut you off.
No, go.
But if you're doing it for yourself, I think that's fine. But honestly, know that you're doing it for yourself. Don't just say you're doing it for yourself, but you're actually doing it for your Instagram photo or for the potential hope of getting a boyfriend or whatever the hell it might be.
Do it for you.
Do it for you.
Because you feel better.
Yeah, and I think that goes with anything. Like, if you, I don't know, there's something in your face that really annoys you and you really want to get Botox in it, like, I'm not going to judge you on that.
Yeah.
Am I going to do it? I'm not sure. But, you know, I just think it's a complicated conversation. And I think
there's no black or white.
Yeah.
I think also as well, like, two things. The difference between having your photo photoshopped and whitening your teeth.
Mm.
You had a choice in whitening your teeth or wearing makeup. You didn't have a choice when your photos were photoshopped. 100%. You didn't even know.
Totally.
So I think choice is a big thing.
I agree.
And I also think that, again, your body, your rules.
Yeah.
So if you choose to have Botox or a nose job or microblading, like I've had my eyebrows microbladed.
Totally.
Best cosmetic procedure. I have only cosmetic procedure I've ever done. Best bloody thing I ever did.
Totally.
Because it saves me time in the mornings because I'm not having to spend hours filling in my brows.
Totally.
And B, I just feel better about it.
Exactly. But it is complicated because as much as I say, want to whiten your teeth, want to do this, want to go ahead, it's your body. I also really dislike Facetune, which is the ability it's an app, where it's the ability to Photoshop yourself, basically.
Yeah.
And people, it's scary the more I've gotten an understanding of what Facetune is and how easy it is. And the way it freaks me out is that people are basically able to Photoshop their Instagram photo of their girlfriend and them having a coffee on a Saturday in a local cafe.
Yeah.
And you think that their body looks like that, but they've, because it's such a real moment.
I think that's the issue, right? Yeah. I think it's the realness of it. So, like, if you see me in real life and I have white teeth and on my Instagram photos I have white teeth or whatever, on my wedding photos I have white teeth, I have white teeth.
Mm.
Whereas you said, like, if you're changing it because of a perception of what you think other people want you to look like. Mm. And for me, it's almost the homogeny as well. Mm. So are we all whitening our teeth and all tanning our skin and all blading our brows because we all want to look a certain way? Mm. Like, that's what starts to scare me because we've been conditioned.
Totally.
That tan skin is more attractive and that white teeth are more attractive.
But not too tan. It's...
I know. Like, I'm like, we just shouldn't comment on this. Like, no one has the right to comment on anybody. And, like, that's the thing. Like, who's calling out who's being too tanned?
Totally.
The person that's calling out the person, stop calling them out. If they want to be, like, tan as, let them be tan as. Mm-hmm. Like, it's their choice. And I think that's the key.
I would rather someone fake tan than lie in the sun for skin cancer. Correct. You know, so, like, there's so many, there's so many levels to this stuff. Like, I'm not someone who does that, except when I was on Dancing with the Stars and I was very, very fake tanned up. I don't really go down those paths because I very bad at applying those kind of things. But I think it is, it's complex, and I, the scary thing is, and because I obviously my life is this kind of conversation, I know that the rise in plastic surgery has gone up since social media, and I know from articles that I've read that people literally take a photo of their Snapchat version of themselves with those filters on and say, make me look like this. So they're trying to look like these filtered images of themselves. Which I think is what's really scary. I think there's one side of that conversation that I'm like, you're projecting an image of unrealistic, I don't want to say beauty because I don't want to claim that that's beauty, but you know, quotation marks beauty, to other people. But the worst part of it is that you're forgetting what you really look like, you know, and you're creating a barrier between your reality, which I think is, that's why I don't, I mean, there's a multiple reasons why I don't do it, but that's one of the reasons why I don't do it, you know. It's like, I'm not going to Photoshop on like a real leg and pretend I have a real leg.
Because
you know?
Don't. Because I don't. Because the reality is you don't.
And someone's going to see, like, my biggest fear ever since I got an Instagram following was that someone was going to see me and not think I look anything like I look in my social media. Like, I would rather look worse in my social media.
Like, oh, wow.
Oh, she's good. Yeah. You know, like, I would way rather that. I don't know why we're trying to, I don't know, pretend we're something we're not.
Yeah.
And it's... it's,
there's so many levels to that,
so,
isn't there?
There's so many levels.
Yeah.
And it's not black and white.
No, and I think that's it. What do you think as a society that we can do to change the way that people think about body image and self-esteem? Like, your petition, obviously, is a massive one. Mm. So, again, for the listeners who don't know the petition, Jess basically petitioned for all images that were photoshopped in New Zealand media to have a disclaimer, basically. Yeah. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing as hashtag sponsored. Like, in terms of, you know, as content creators, we legally in New Zealand, we don't yet, but it's super close. We have to disclose when we're in a paid a relationship with a brand. And I think that it's, I mean, it's same, but different. I think it's really important for media to disclose that the image isn't the actual person. And that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and to me, I think that that's a perfect example of how it should be. And I think when I did a TED talk around it, and I think it's also a huge mental health issue. I think so many, and I keep going to young girls, but I know that it affects men as well, but so many people, especially young people, are growing up with mental health issues because they are like suffering with comparison, and they're suffering with self-image, and they're suffering with all of these types of things.
And it's exacerbated by...
it's huge now with social media. And I think... so I compare it to a warning on a food packet, you know, a health rating.
Yeah, a warning on a cigarette packet.
I was just about to say warning on a cigarette packet. It's the exact same thing. And I think a disclaimer, A, allows us, for me it's a stepping stone. Yeah. I'm hoping the disclaimer makes people not want to disclaim it, therefore they don't want to do
Photoshop,
it, you know.
Correct.
But that's the long-term goal. I hope that no one would, I mean, the law hasn't been passed yet, and I'm learning how to deal with politics because I know nothing about it. But that's the long-term goal. But I think, yeah, it's a hugely important conversation, and I'm hoping it will just make people understand what's real and what's not, because they'll see something and then it's, you know, this image has been photoshopped and they're like, oh, that's why she doesn't have pores. Like, everyone has that's pores.
That's why she has, like, a pair of three ribs and not, like, however many like the rest of us. Totally. Yeah. And it's funny, I mean, I remember once, like, sitting down with a couple of girlfriends and going... like, my tummy rolls up when I sit down like that. But, like, again, looking back at Cleo or Marie Claire, when the girls were sitting down, it didn't. And I was like, okay, I've got a big tummy.
Yeah,
like,
I am my modelling manager, or the lady who owns my modelling agency in America is a lady called Katie Wilcox, and she's an incredible model herself. She's modelled for years. And she recently spoke out. She was on a family holiday with her husband and her daughter, and there was a photo of her daughter and her on the beach. They were playing, building a sandcastle or something like that. And it went kind of mad amongst her following, because people were like, oh my God, you're so brave for showing your body. It's so brave of you to not be like sucking into that. And she was like, I was literally posting a photo of me and my child. Like, how does this make me brave?
Yeah.
And
right?
I feel the same. Like, I mean, yes, me being in my underwear in the middle of every mall in Australia and New Zealand.
I know, that's a little bit brave.
But still, like, just me being in my body, just because I have one leg, that doesn't make me brave. I'm just in my body.
I think this is the thing. And I think that definitely, you know, and I have posted pictures of me in my togs on social media. I'm like, sounds really wanky, but like, again, but
it's, I'm in my underwear, don't you worry.
But it's about, actually, I'm not this story. But it's about, again, going, this is my body, mm-hmm. right? And I think, and I know a lot of people that I follow have had that conversation around, don't call me brave.
Mm-hmm.
Being brave is serving your country and going and fighting overseas. Being brave is driving into the surf to rescue someone who's drowning. Like, totally. Being brave is going through cancer at 9 years old and losing your totally. Leg. Like, that is brave. I think wearing togs at the beach with your kid is life.
Like, that's it's just normal. undermining to call someone brave for doing that, you know? But I also think
it's making the person calling them brave, maybe, like, they don't then have to step up and do it themselves. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, my big thing is about, like
she's taking one for the team,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no, just do it. So yeah. I've got this little kind of, like, mini hashtag on Instagram called Wear the Bloody Togs.
Mm.
Because I'm just like, oh, my God, stop sitting on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Wear the bloody togs. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go to the beach and run around with your kids, mm-hmm. wear the bloody togs. Mm-hmm. Obviously, one of the things that we can do as individuals is sign your petition.
It's closed now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So it's just closed. It closed in December or January.
How many did you get?
One of those months. I think, I can't actually remember the final number. I need to look it up, but somewhere between 10 and 11,000.
That's amazing.
I think just under 11,000 or just over. And my goal was 10,000. Yeah. And we actually ended up being the highest signed petition in New Zealand last year.
That's so cool.
Which,
well done.
Someone told me that and I thought they were joking. And then I looked and I was like, oh, wow. So that was really cool. And now I need to figure out how to take it to Parliament, which, and also figure out what I want to do with it, because I learned so much through a year of doing media and conversation in and around that conversation, that there are so many ways I want to go, they could go around it, because I don't really want it to be a rule. I don't want it to, I want brands to take that on board themselves. I don't want to force them into doing it. But at the end of the day, it is a law that's been passed in France, which arguably probably one of the fashion capitals of the world. So if they can do it, why can't we? I think Israel as well have it as a law. And I know Instagram are rolling out some laws in and around unrealistic representation,
which I think
of
is
people, which
almost
is great.
Arguably more important.
Hugely
more
important. And if I could tackle that, I would, but how you tackle
Instagram?
I would rather tackle the Parliament.
Yeah. Unless you get to dinner on the phone. Instagram,
Totally. Yeah. So, yes, I mean, the hindsight signing my petition, but I think just as you said before, I think supporting those brands who are making and making the changes that you believe to be right, whether that's the same as what your friend believes to be right, you know, whatever you think you want to see more of. I think there is, not to add more complicated conversations to this argument, but there is also lots of stuff that I've heard Katie talk about, who's my manager in America, and she said it's, like you were saying, it's more about representing all bodies and different bodies instead of, you. Like, it's hard to go to a brand, and that's where they're struggling at the moment, who only stocks, which is an issue in itself, but they're a brand that stocks up to a size 18, let's say.
Yeah.
You can't then ask them to have a size 24 model because they don't stock that clothing, but maybe support the brands and maybe suggest, hey, I really love your clothes. I wish I could wear them.
Yeah.
I'm this size.
Yeah.
Would you consider making clothes for my size? But I think it's supporting those brands that
That do it. I think also having those conversations in a nice way as well. Like, and it's funny because, like, you in terms of your communication and just your demeanor as a person, like, you're really nice. Like, you're kind. None of it is soapboxing.
Mm.
Like, there's not a lot of that. There's not a lot of accusation. And I feel like there are some subsets of the community that get a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and they attack rather than talk to brands and talk to people with kindness. And
I agree.
Feel like the way to get through to brands is to actually just say in a really nice way, exactly like you just said, hey, I really love what you do. I would love to be able to wear your clothes.
Totally.
Would you consider making bigger sizes? Rather than like calling them out on it in an arrogant, ignorant way.
I'm so done. I'm canceling cancel culture. Like, you know, like I just, it doesn't, and also we've all as a society got to this place. It's not just, like, we forget that there's
brand marketing.
Totally, we forget that there's humans behind that. And yes, there are some of them, hashtag Victoria's Secrets, who have maybe done a lot of wrong things, you know?
And haven't cottoned on quick enough
either. And have been told to change time and time again and never did, and that was to their own detriment. But I think, you know, this is us as a whole. We've all been victims to this. The person behind the brand is also a victim to this. And at the end of the day, like, having studied fashion, having and being a model, I know how much, how complicated. There's a reason why there was one size and it's gotten too extreme.
Yeah.
But I think it is complicated. I mean, I did a mini brand thing recently, and I wanted to do a photo shoot with every single size because I had as many sizes as possible that I could get. But that's expensive, you know?
That's it, and I think that sometimes people forget, and again, with a fashion background, I've worked for designers, and just producing a sample range often when designers have a range that's between 50 and 100 pieces...
To do that in 5, 6, 7 different models... Yeah,
that's like... A lot of money. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that there needs to be, like you said, a little bit of understanding and compassion that it might take a bit longer to do it as well. So yes, definitely, like, be banging on the door of your brands that you love, but also give them some leeway and understand. And there are production issues, and there are construction issues and those kinds of things as well.
There's a lot into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons.
One brand that I really like what they're doing is Ruby, a New Zealand brand, and I think, yes, they don't always stock, they don't stock the biggest size range all the time, but I have noticed without them projecting it, I went on their website once and their last season collection had maybe she would have been a size 12 model, someone who I could see myself in, and then their next collection was probably a size 8 model, and then their next collection, I don't know what it's going to be, but you know, instead of being like, we're doing this full range and this one mass photo shoot that everyone's doing, which I do believe is epic, if they don't have the ability, if a brand doesn't have the ability to do that, I think that's a really cool way to do it, to change it up a little bit.
Totally.
And just show that they're trying to be as inclusive as they're listening. Totally, definitely.
What advice would you give to somebody listening if they're struggling with their body image or their self-esteem?
Go see Kate.
I'll pay you later, girlfriend.
I think that's a really hard one for me. I just learned to not dwell on it, for it to not become the most important thing or be the most important thing in my life. And I do believe, like what we were talking about earlier, find the things that make you feel good. And if you have the resources to use someone like yourself to help you do that, or you need that, I think that is absolutely amazing and that could change someone's life. But even just start small and treat yourself. Go to a store, buy a couple of things that are going to make you feel better if your body has changed, or you're starting on a new mission of a new career or whatever it might be. Yeah. You've moved countries or whatever it is. Find what makes you feel good and don't fall into the trap of needing to fit into some cookie cutter mold that you believe to be where you need to sit. And also shop for your size and shop, but not your size on the label.
It's the thing that fits you.
The thing that fits you. I think, I don't know if you've seen I'm actually going to post it soon. There's a meme, if you like, going around, and this lady took a photo of, I think it was about 10 pairs of jeans in a size 12. They literally look like they range from a size 6 to a 16, like, in terms of, but they all said 12 on the labels. Like, don't fall into the trap of, like, but I'm a size 12, I can't fit these 12s, so I'm not going to buy them. I'm like, maybe just try the 16s, or go down a size, if you know, like,
100%.
Dress to what makes you feel good. And I do that, because I've always bought men's t-shirts, I've always bought t-shirts in, like, an extra large men's t-shirt, which clearly isn't my size, but it's what I feel my best, it's the one I want.
I often with my clients, I won't show them the size, so I'll just pull stuff off the rack, looking at them and actually knowing, okay, cool, so she's a bit pear shaped, so even though she's generally an 8, I think in this shop it's a small fit. I'm gonna put her in a 10 first, you know, and I think if we need to go down size, sweet.
Yeah,
but that's totally it. And I think that the size and the standards of sizing, again, sizing is such a complicated issue. Like, it's not just a matter of a bust waist hip measurement.
No, so complicated.
And the last standardized sizing in Australia and New Zealand was done in the 50s, like before we were born.
So crazy.
So there's no, you know, so you can't.
There's no standard size.
No, and you can't blame the shops because they need to have some form of digitizing. Okay, this is a smaller size than this one. Mm-hmm. So don't blame someone if you are a size 10 in one shop and a 12 in another shop. Mm-hmm. Just wear the clothes that fit you.
100%. Or the way you want them to fit. Like, correct. I'm like, I fit the size 10 right now, but it looks, I like the way that it fits in a 14, or I like the way that it fits in an 8, like whatever it is.
That's how I often do that with blazers, particularly. I like a blazer to be a neat fit. I'm almost the opposite because I've got big boobs. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes if I go oversized, I look baggier. I like that neat fit, so often in a jacket I'll go down to a 10 and I'm a pretty standard 12, but I just like the fit of it.
Totally agree.
But, and I think that also I often, when I do workshops and stuff, I have this Kath and Kim film clip that I show people there was, so Kath is the mum and she's little and Kim is the daughter and she's bigger, and she thinks that her husband's having an affair on her, right? So she's like, oh, mum, I found a size 16 bras and things titty in the back of the drawer. And mum goes, well, duh, that's your size. And she goes, mum, I'm a size 10. in. And Kath goes, "Dear Country Road, Saws to you."
That's so good.
It's so funny, that's right? So and we good. All laugh because yeah. we get it.
We get it.
Like 100%. Some stores, vanity size. Yeah. There's a name for it. It's called vanity sizing. Yeah. But that's exactly what it is. It's to make you go, "Oh, yeah. I'm a size 10 here. Yeah.
Country Road's really good at
I'm
it.
I'm going to buy that." Sorry, Country Road.
Sorry, Country Road. Love the clothes.
But, like, hashtag not sponsored. but I think that we need to be aware of that.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Not pay attention. Like, use it as a rough estimate. Like, totally. I would generally start with a 12 or a medium.
Yeah, and work from there. But not feel disheartened if something doesn't fit.
That's exactly it. And I think, and often I say to clients, when something doesn't fit you, it has got zero to do with you and 100% to do with that garment.
100%.
All it means is that particular piece of clothing is not made for your particular body.
Totally.
And that's okay.
Totally. And also dress for how you're feeling that day. Like, the other day went to put on my denim shorts. I was like, I'm going to the beach. But then I had my period and I was like, I do not want to wear denim shorts right now. Like, so I put on my elastic shorts and I felt so good that day because I was like, I'm comfortable right now. Whereas if I leave the house, I'm having brunch with a girlfriend and I'm sucking in my stomach and I feel uncomfortable, you know?
I love that he said before intuitive dressing. Yeah. I'm very much like that. Because so some stylists talk about like planning your wardrobe for the week.
Oh, and I don't know how people do that.
I know, right? If that worked for your brain, sweet, but I could not. Because I get up and I'm like, what do I feel like wearing today? Totally. And I love that.
Yeah, same.
Have you heard of a thing called dopamine dressing?
No.
So it's this term that I've heard kind of being bandied around a little bit on some Aussie style bloggers. Mm-hmm. And basically it's about wearing bright colour to make you feel good.
Cool.
And I'm like, that is being the Queenslander. I'm like, it's so up my alley.
See, I like that.
Bright colour.
See, I did a post the other day and I looked at my wardrobe. No, I was packing my suitcase. I was supposed to go back to America last week. But I was packing my suitcase and I was like, it's so bright in here. Like, I got sent this pink dress the other week and then I bought myself a lilac dress and something else in colour. And as I was packing my suitcase, I was like, who is this?
Who what is going?
Have I got the wrong suitcase right now? Like, but it kind of felt good. Like, I went to my tennis and I wore this pink dress and I felt great.
Yeah, literally, you guys can't see it, but behind me, there is
it's a very rack bright in here.
With like seriously five pink things on it, bright thing. Like that's the Queenslander in me. Mm-hmm. But also like that pink color, like magenta pink, is my spirit animal. Mm. Like I want all of the things in the pink. Yeah. It makes me feel happy.
Yeah,
and that's dopamine dressing. Mm, so it's wearing bright color to make you feel good, which I like.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, right, is to do things that make you feel good.
Yeah.
And that might come down to, like I said, the kind of the first thing you said was about, like, not focusing so much on your body. So things like a gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. So actually maybe focusing on the other things that you're thankful for.
Totally.
And actually shift
where your focus is.
Correct.
100%. And that's, I think, for me, it's become innate. Not saying I don't have bad days. I have bad days all the time. Yeah. But as a whole, it's become innate in me to, that's why I don't spend my time looking at how I wear.
You get dressed, you're sorted, and then you get on with your day.
100%.
And I often talk about that's what my job is for clients, is to get them to a point where they can get up, get dressed, they love everything that they own, regardless of how they feel about their body as well. So they get up, get dressed, and they can get on with doing the things like being a doctor or being a lawyer or being a mother or being a teacher.
Totally.
And they're not focused on, I look crap today.
And that's where a gratitude journal or meditation or just sitting down while you're having a coffee and thinking about what you're grateful for is so good, because you're like, oh, I went to the gym today and I did an hour of workout that a lot of people on this planet cannot physically do, or I just nailed that meeting and I used my voice or whatever it is, instead of spending the first 2 hours of the day stressing because your blouse didn't fit properly or didn't button up how you wanted to or whatever. Just
get rid of it and buy one that does.
Yeah, totally. And I think, that's how you can learn to be grateful for your body and not focusing on what your body looks like, but still being feeling good.
How did you learn to overcome those things that were obviously physically big issues in your life? What did you actually do?
I had to go to a really dark place before I could come out of it, I think. I lost my leg when I was 9, and then I was sweet for the first, until I probably hit puberty.
Yeah, right.
And I was running around, running amok. Like, all I cared about was that I was back going to birthday parties, and I was out in the playground with my sisters.
Again,
I was
being
a kid. I didn't give a crap that my leg looked like the weirdest thing on the planet. And I think it was also society, because my girlfriends were starting to fuss about how they looked and we'd start going to parties and all that kind of stuff, and I genuinely just didn't want to be in the body that I was in, to be truly honest. And I spent probably a good 2 years crying myself to sleep because I just didn't know how I was going to get past this point. And I remember getting to a point where I was like, cancer's taken so much from me. I can't let it just take my happiness like this. It's ridiculous. And I knew that I was grateful to have my life, and I knew all of those kind of things, but I didn't get how I would get to a point where I felt good, how I would get to a point where boys would like me. You know, I was at that age. And then I remember one day just deciding to just get over it. I literally just did the whole fake a smile and get on with it because I kind of had to. Like,
and I think that's it. Like, no one else can make that decision for you. You need to get to that point where you totally go, I need to actually pull my socks up now.
Totally. And I think there is this whole, like, look in the mirror and, like, and I think this is great. Like, tell someone to say five things you love about yourself. I think that's absolutely awesome. But I also think once you've done that, like, just get on with life, yeah, you know? Because
stop
I think,
dwelling on it.
Don't dwell on it. And it was a hard process to go through, and I think I obviously had to go through that, and it's not been perfect since, but I think there was a degree where I actually just had to pretend to be confident until I realized it had stuck, you know?
Yeah,
and
until you make it.
Yeah, and there was that, otherwise I was going to twiddle my fingers for so long, and I think it wasn't until I looked back, someone asked me once if I would change what I went through, and my answer instantly was no. And I was like, oh shit, I'm not faking this anymore. Yeah. This is really good. Totally.
Yeah.
And just actually going back to the bravery, I was brave. My girlfriends were like, it was a really hot day. We were hanging out and they're like, have some shorts. Like, I was in jeans. We were sitting outside. They're like, borrow a pair of my shorts, throw them on. And I threw them on and I felt liberated. Like, I literally felt like a weight off my shoulders, and the people staring at me in the street didn't change. It was all exactly the same, but I didn't care anymore.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I was comfortable.
And you can't change what they're thinking.
No.
And I think, like, even like for somebody, everyone's worried about what they think everyone else is thinking about them, right? They think that people are like focusing on the bits that they don't like and blah, blah, blah. But you actually have something that people notice. And I think that, again, people need to be aware of, like, people obviously notice something that's different about you, and you don't let it get to you. So if you think your arms are too fat, no one is even thinking that.
No one is even thinking that. And it's like that idea, it's like you go to catch up with your girlfriend, and then suddenly you're like, sorry, they've got this massive pimple on my face. They're like, I didn't even see it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like we like project these things, and we notice things so much more than anyone else does, because most of the people in our life do not care. And also, when I was walking around the mall as a kid, like, yes, I do have an unusual leg. They were probably looking at my leg, but how do I not know they didn't like my shoes? You know, like,
that's exactly
we
it.
Don't, you know, you think they're staring at your arms. They're looking at how cool your dress is.
Totally.
You know, it's like
100%.
And also, if they are staring at your arms, they could be being like, damn, I wish my arms look that good. Or like, even not, they might just be staring at your arms. Like,
and even if they are, you can't change how they're thinking about
totally.
It. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying what everybody else thinks of you.
9 times out of 10, we are pointing out someone out the insecurity that we have in ourselves. You know, like the amount of times that it'll be like, oh my gosh, she's got such white teeth because you're insecure about the fact that your teeth aren't white, or whatever it is. You know, it's like we project these things, which is where we need to catch ourselves and be like, oh, you know. And it's, and there's also there's that saying, and I always say it, and it's, if we all threw our problems in a pile, we'd be really quick to grab our own back. And I think that's so true.
But that's,
you know,
almost like why I use you as an example when I'm dealing with clients. I'm like, girlfriend, would you want flabby arms or one leg?
Totally.
Because I would take the arms all day, 100%. Every day.
And like, then I feel bad because one of my good friends is a quadriplegic, and he doesn't have the ability to dress himself every day. You know, and I'm like, God, I get up and sure, I can't put on my leg half the time, and the other one's bloody painful,
but at least I'm good.
Exactly, so
right. There's always someone worse off than you.
Totally. And then also, it's so complicated. There's always a but, and knowing it's actually just okay to have a bad day.
I was about to say, so we've been doing this thing with Emmy, who's our 3-year-old.
I love her so much.
She's pretty funny.
I'm so sad she's not here right now.
Come to daycare after and pick her up. We're doing this thing where we let her, like, scream and cry for, like, 5 seconds. So
I love that.
You can cry as hard as you want, as much as you want, for 5 seconds, and then we're done. Okay, ready? Yeah. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And get up and get on with
it. It kind of works.
That's cool.
And I feel like as grown-ups, sometimes we need to do that. Like, wallow in your own self for 5 minutes.
Write it down, vent to someone.
Yeah, and then get on with it. I think that's it.
It's like that. Was it a bad day, or was it 5 minutes that you milked all day long? You know?
Yes.
I love that. I'm like, you're right. It was someone that yelled at me. My boss yelled at me, and I made myself grumpy for the whole day when it could have just been a bad 5 minutes, walk around the block, and I'm good.
That may have been me yesterday.
Yeah, and we all have them.
Ask my husband.
He's like, what did you do, Dean?
He didn't do anything. I was just cranky. And then we went to the beach, and he was like, I don't care how cold that water is. You go into that water, and you have a swim, because you know it'll make you feel better. And I was like, okay.
And you come out with a good attitude.
Literally. And I was like, okay. And I went to water, I came out, and I was like,
Like, it's so true, though. Yeah.
You know, and I see it, like, and again, I went in the water and I had a swim and I had some cute togs, but I also, like, went in the water and had a swim. I didn't care.
Totally.
About, oh my god, I had to sit under the towel because, like, like, the swim was way more important than my wonky fake tan on my bum.
Totally. You know?
So tell me one exciting thing that you have got coming up this year.
I'm actually just excited. Last year was my year of healing, still kind of in it.
Yeah.
But this year I'm trying to push through and kind of just, like, navigate life. I'm just started this adventure where I'm living between LA and New Zealand. So I've decided to really give modeling a good shot, which never wanted to be a model, but found an opportunity to change this conversation we just had. So,
But I also love that you're not just having the conversation, you're actually being an active part of it.
That's why I want to model. Yeah. I was like, to be honest, I don't know, why do people want to model? It's like, the work's not that good. Like, you're a coat hanger, but I get to change. I get to
be
do what
forefront.
I'm preaching. You know?
And that's kind of like what I do. Like,
exactly,
I feel like
100%.
Being able to help people physically, like, rather than, like, because we were talking before about the podcast. Like, one of the reasons I have the podcast is because I struggle to put what I feel in an Instagram caption. So being 100%. Able to do it with people one-on-one, in real life, in workshops and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's no better feeling than getting a message from, it's usually from a mum whose daughter saw my campaign and bras and things and feels amazing about themselves, or actually there's this one recently and I can't remember what the girl said, but she said something that taught her mum the thing because she realised how naive we are when we are kids and we need to keep that. The mum was like, the kid was like to them, I'm like, why are you fussing about that? Jess is different. We're all different, you know? And I'm like, that's the coolest thing.
And I love that people tell you that. Like, I feel like it's really important. So cool. Like, if somebody makes an impact on your life, tell them because it actually gives them fuel to keep doing it.
Yeah, 100%.
Because like, otherwise sometimes you feel like, is anyone even listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, why do I do this?
Yeah, totally.
And so, it's hard when I'm speaking at a lot of people all day long who I know are receiving it, but I've never met these people.
Yeah.
You know?
Are they actually listening?
Are they, and I know they're listening because they reply and they like and they comment and all this kind of stuff, but, like, I've never met them, you know? There's one of me and a lot of them, so it's like, I like to bring the realness back into it, and in terms of like that's why I like speaking as much as I shit my pants
because
every
time. You get the initial, like,
I see the people and with their face, you know, the actual people. So really long answer to your question, but there's a lot of things I'm really excited about this year, but I'm going to be that annoying person that's like, I can't tell you what I'm working on.
That's even more exciting.
There's a lot of exciting stuff that I've been working on for the last year. One really personal project which I'm kind of throwing my heart and soul into, which is cool. But yeah, my main focus is going to be navigating this life between New Zealand and America and Australia. I modeled in Australia as well. So it's really exciting and just going where it takes me.
Yay. Well, watch this space. You'll see Jess Quinn's face everywhere.
Who knows?
Being herself. Being her own real woman with a not real leg.
Totally.
I love it. Real woman. Hashtag real woman.
Hashtag real woman.
Awesome, Jess. Thank you so much for stopping into having
you.
A chat. I was super excited about you coming in. And the chat was everything I hoped for and more. Yay. So make sure you guys go and find Jess Quinn on Instagram. I'll put all her thingies, what are they called?
What are they
handles?
Called? Links?
Handles. In the podcast notes, but she's definitely one. I get asked, you know, oh, who do you follow online? And I'm like, but my answer is always you. Aww. You and Ellie's belly. I'm like, loving Ellie's belly. Yeah, like, you guys are both so real and positive, and I love it. So
thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Keep up your good work.
Oh, thanks, mom. All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Style Project with Caitlin Taylor, a podcast about body love, self-esteem, and personal style. For more everyday style advice and inspiration, make sure you follow me online. I'm on Facebook at Chasing Kate Style Coach or Instagram at ChasingKate_StyleCoach. Or you can visit the website chasingkate.com for all my one-on-one personal styling packages, my online membership, and group workshops here in Auckland.